area to see that, that basic support for teaching, for rural education is offered by the university based right here in Juneau. We look for Juneau to offer us a significant role in the fisheries program. The regents have determined that we will, quote, be preeminent in the area of fisheries support. And I just came back from a visit to the University of Washington. It's going to be hard to compete directly with the University of Washington. That's a first-rate institution. But we're going to try in the area of fisheries. And I think that Dean Chapman understands that Alaska has such a tremendous potential, both as a university and as a fisheries industry, that we have every chance of succeeding. I also hope to have some private funds to help in that area, to endow a chair that will give us some strong leadership in that, that particular area. And that would be a tremendous help, I think, to give a real impetus to fisheries as a statewide program, but with a major emphasis right here based in Juneau. The industry covers the state, all 7,000 miles of coast, and we need a fisheries support program that covers the state too, not just a single base. We're going to need some help from you in capital construction in Juneau to move the University of Alaska Juneau beyond the base we have now. We need better academic facilities, and certainly we need good facilities for the fisheries program. We think that the plan that we presented will meet the enrollment pressures and programmatic problems that we're going to face in the next year, and we hope that you see fit to support you. The second key point I think I'd like to make, because I hate to lose the opportunity to speak to a distinguished group like this, we desperately need your help in increasing our own operational management abilities by lowering the number of appropriations to something reasonable like 6, and cutting down on some of the technical harassment, such as the salary underfunding. We presented to you a plan for salary underfunding that I think is reasonable, and is that can be expected in a university of this size. Roughly a 1% underfunding is a reasonable kind of thing. We're proposing that that be distributed so that there's slightly more underfunding in the classified area than in the professional area, but the overall pattern would be about 1%. That's within good management competence to do. The up to 6% that we're suffering under this year is really a program cutback and is exceedingly difficult to manage. So I know that in the end the decision will turn on, do you have enough increased confidence in the university that you're willing to leave some management decisions to management? And what I'd like to do is to be available to you as you continue your deliberations to help you gain that confidence. We've got a first-rate financial system now, one that that stays on top of our financial dollars, our budgets and our expenditures. It is about to report to you by computer in the way that you want. We're probably 12 months from having full regular reports, but by the fall we ought to be able to give you, be giving you trial runs on our new computerized system on this. But the basic management structure that Chairman Carter is providing is right on top of that. Those of you that heard Bill Allen comment understand what a dramatic turnaround he's going to bring to the institution. It's also interesting to note that we got our W-2 forms out. We got our financial reports in and a few other things like that in an exceedingly timely fashion. I think we're on top.
I point out that I today received a W-2 form from the university saying no wages, no tips, no income tax.
You didn't say the information was accurate.
Did it say anything about the value of the work?
No.
I think those are the major things. I'd be pleased to answer questions, but I know that you want to get on to Juneau.
Mr. Chairman, just one point. We had, of course, as you know, some meetings in the interim, and the chairman of the subcommittee and I were in attendance there, and we were looking at the 19% request and comparing it with the governor's 12% goal for his budget, and we thought that your request was quite reasonable under the circumstances, but we were worrying about the politics of making the university different than everybody else that was only going to get 12%. But in looking through the governor's budget, the governor's operating budget is not 12%. The governor's increasing operating budget averages 17.7. And in some cases, the highest one I think is 34%. And health, is it, or social services, one of the two?
Health.
And so that compares favorably, at least, with your request. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything in your request is something the legislature will buy, but just in terms of the overall increase. I was concerned because I thought yours was a legitimate request, and we had heard that the rest were coming in at substantially lower, but that's not the case. What he's done is lower the, he has a net decrease this year to last year in comparison in the capital budget, and a net increase in the operating budget, so it averages 12%.
That's right, that's right. So that's a little bit different.
Yeah, so in terms of operating to operating, you're right in the ballpark.
I was pleased, though, that he supported the budget and transmitted it to you. I think that kind of support is invaluable. I know it doesn't always influence your judgments, but it's nice to have it. It's an independent judgment.
Better have it that way than the other.
Indeed, yes.
Can I ask, is a tuition increase being proposed at the Regents' meeting?
Yes, sir. Would you like to discuss that at all?
No.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions? Mike Carolus.
Chairman Rogers, my name is Mike Paradise. I'm Chancellor of the University of Alaska Juneau. I would like to say to you that next time you choose the proper campus, and you probably will get the W-2 form that at least may have a waiver of tuition or something like that. Chairman Mickens, I hope that your comment about the legislature probably not supporting the federal budget of the university will not affect the UAJ campus. I would have liked to proceed and give you an overview of the budget as well as the process of the column here in Juneau, and most importantly, the reorganization that we are undergoing presently that affected the budget. However, since we don't have very much time, I did ask Chairman Rogers if we could get the other people who would like to testify first, and then the remaining time I can shorten my comments and you can have time to ask me any questions that you might want to ask me. So with your permission, I would like at this time to call Mr. John Bradley, who is chairman of the Policy Advisory Council, which is a group of citizens in the community advising the Chancellor of the University of Alaska Juneau about how the people in the community and around Juneau in Southeast Alaska feel about the university and its programs. So if you have no objections, I would like to call Mrs. Bradley at this time, and then she will be followed by the president of the Student Body, UAJ, Brad Moran, and the others will introduce themselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would point out we're asking that citizens try to limit their comments to 5 minutes or so. We, in the Anchorage hearings, went 2 days at 5 minutes.
Chairman Rogers, members of the committee, I'll talk even faster than usual. My name is Janet Bradley. I'm here this morning as the president of the Policy Advisory Council. So that you understand who we are 15 members, soon to be 21 members, representing the public, the citizens of this area. Part of our functions include interviewing candidates for the chancellorship. We interviewed candidates for the university president. We reviewed degree proposals. We received reports from administrators about the enrollment figures, housing, physical plant development. And we also advise the University of Alaska Juneau overall, from a citizen's perspective, about the matters of policy affecting the university and institution development. The wellspring of the university proposal, the university policy, is expressed in the budget document. And our chief concerns from the Policy Advisory Council in this particular year have been focused on reorganization, accreditation, and recruitment. And it's to these issues that I think I can speak this morning about the FY 18 budget proposal. The budget documents reflects we believe the general consensus of the Policy Advisory Council on these issues, which are the at the heart of the reorganization, the mission of the University of Alaska Juneau. The purpose of the reorganization, as we understand it, is to build a quality institution with the wisest use of public funds and human resources. The Policy Advisory Council has been considering the mission of the university in that regard. What we're committed to is to maintain the community college philosophy, which was part of the reason for the institution's birth. The reorganization is also aimed at elimination of duplication of administrative services, which I think you will also find is reflected in our budget. The purpose of the reorganization is to articulate programs from the lower division to the upper division and to provide a better core program for students. The reorganization is also committed to maintaining community service and continuing education programs. And finally, to facilitate the responsiveness of the University of Alaska Juneau to the regional needs, those of Alaska Natives and other special interest groups in our area. I think you will find as you go over the FY81 budget that the requested funds for positions, both at the senior college and the university community college level, speak to the reorganization and speak to the development of that quality program, particularly the addition of the professors in art, music, and political science for the senior college, and for the additional requested positions for vocational technical program at the community college level. Now, obviously, the reorganization will impact on how the funds are allocated, but I think if we keep in mind that the purpose of the reorganization is to develop the core program and to maintain the commitment to the community college philosophy, you'll see that that's expressed in the FY81 budget. The other point that I want to draw your attention to is that the Northwest Accreditation Association's report identified certain needs for the University of Alaska Juneau, which are reflected in our budget. And the Policy Advisory Council has always expressed its support for continued funds for the library, and we'll hope that you'll keep the accreditation needs in mind as you review our budget. Finally, I would like to express the Policy Advisory Council's concern for support for the university, particularly at this time. The conversations and decisions which I've shared with the university over the last year and a half, and which have been extended, these conversations and observations and participation, has been extended to us consistently by the Chancellor, have led us to believe that we have a viable institution here, which with your support can become an even better institution in the future. We see Chancellor Paradise as a key to the viability of our institution. But obviously, in order to continue to build a university that will be responsive to the citizens of this community, it's going to take funding. We ask you to demonstrate your vote of confidence in the University of Alaska Juneau by full funding in this fiscal year.
Thank you. Any questions? Just on the library, I couldn't find it here. Do you know what the request is for the library?
I would defer that question to Harry Kine, but I think the point that I was trying to make is that the accreditation requires that the library come up to the standards of the Northwest Association, and that's what we are very concerned about in the Policy Advisory Council. We need to have our institution accredited. We're coming up for accreditation in 1981, and the PAC has been involved. All of our members are serving on accreditation subcommittees, so that we see that as a critical area. Also, the economics professor, I believe, and the degree in liberal arts are recommendations from the Northwest Accreditation Association, and we are supporting those.
Mr.
Chairman. Yes.
Excuse me. Dana, do you know if your policy advisory committee excuse me, has looked into the idea of getting credit for work in the legislature?
I believe that...
We have a lot of staff here now that are around college age, and I was thinking that... I know some of them are getting 3 credits from Anchorage. It seemed logical that they might enroll here and have some oversight and work
right.
in the session.
Student intern program, and as a matter of fact, one of the things the PAC is going to be doing this afternoon is evaluating a degree proposal in government. And we see that as being a need which is particular here in Juneau, and the student intern program, as I understand it, does provide credit for the students.
At the school I went to, University of Oregon, I had a friend there who went there also. She came up and worked a legislative session and got 15 credits for two terms. They were on terms, not semesters, at University of Oregon. And I think other schools have that, but I'm not sure what we offer in that regard. At least one person I talked to said that the most they could get was 3 credits, enroll in one specific course, mm-hmm. and get the 3 credits. And I don't know that someone would want to give that many credits, but I know they did it at some places. It seems to me we might be missing something. We must have 200 people working here, something like that, in the legislature. And is that right? And most of them are, relatively close to college agents. Some of them are doing this and then going back to school outside and other places. And it seemed like a thing you might look into in terms of offering some challenging kind of course that works through this.
Well, thing. I agree with you. The student intern program is functioning here in Juneau. The university does bear credit for it. Steve Johnson is the university official in charge of that program. And we can ask Mr. Johnson to get back to you with additional information. We are considering a degree in government, BA major in government, which would focus on that particular area. That's what I mean about the reorganization, focusing on those particular regional needs which the University of Alaska Juneau can provide and should be providing here in Juneau.
Now, I wouldn't want you to give any credit for anybody working in the Senate.
I'll make a point of that. Thank you very much.
Committee members, for those who don't know me, I'm Rob Morant, student body president, newly elected in Juneau, and I've been in university now for 3 years, and so I've seen quite a few changes in university. And I like to say that as student body president, I'm a little surprised at the UAJ administration. For once in the last 3 years, the university has come out with the same priorities as the students. It's quite nice to see, I must say. One of the main things that students are supporting is the university centers. You see it in the budget there, and it's quite a lump sum. We feel that this campus would really enhance the campus life for students. Also, we feel it would enhance the Auk Bay community.
How much is it?
$10 million.
It's not in the governor's
budget. It's not in the governor's budget. We feel this is a very much needed facility on the Auk Bay campus. And like I said, it would also help the Auk Bay community as far as a public facility. So I would encourage you guys, people to support this facility. And if there's any help the students can have as far as getting surveys or whatnot, we'd be happy to help you.
Closed meetings?
Sorry for the interruption.
Did Ray, you want to come in? The door's locked. Sorry.
Anyway, I must say that we don't agree with everything the administration has set up on the budget, a statewide level. And there's some things that we're having difficulty accepting, but we're trying to work on an in-house thing instead of taking it out to the legislature. And tuition increase is one of those things. Anyway, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have a question somewhat related to this. How are the student loans going on your campus? Do you have any idea, any complaints about that?
I also facilitate Alaska Student Lobby, which is a statewide representative, and we had problems with student loans as far as getting out in time. I'm sure you're all aware of that problem.
I'm wondering if it's cleared up or not. We were aware of it. I was aware of it last semester.
Well, I've got friends that are students that are out of state that are really having a hard time this semester also as far as getting their loans in time. They're very much worried about it. Of course, the university is very lenient as far as the student loans. They're aware of the problem, but other states aren't. So we still have a very difficult problem.
Yeah, it's interesting because as long ago as 1967, we were still having that problem when I was struggling with it. It was a real problem for me because mm-hmm. I didn't have any other place to get the money.
We've received assurances from the Post-Secondary Commission that there won't be the same trouble.
There
won't be trouble with the loans this year.
But
a different
situation. 10th year in a row they've made that assurance.
Anyway, I'd like to request your support of the UAJ budget. I think it's a fair one. I think it meets the needs of the students here in general.
Any questions?
Thank you.
I'm Robbie Stahl. I'm acting chairperson of the Division of Business for the University of Alaska Juneau, and I'll direct my comments to the career education area and the Division of Business. In the budget, we're asking for faculty positions, and of course, we feel that that is the heart of the budget as far as our programs are concerned, and we have an increasing need for full-time faculty. We're utilizing a lot of part-time faculty, and our ratio is much too high. Ideally, we should be operating with around 60% part-time to 40 full-time, and we're more like 75, 25, or even 80, 20 in some cases. And the programs that we're asking for in this budget are areas that do not now have full-time instructors. We have no full-time staff in the area of paralegal. We have no full-time staff in the area of computer science. We have to rely very heavily on a part-time faculty to do the developmental kinds of work and to assist in finding qualified instructors and keeping touch with the needs of the community and defining the curriculum for those programs. The computer science program has a one-year certificate that is a viable program. We have a lot of students in computer science, and we have them now asking for two-year degrees, and we're not quite ready to do that, and the students want it. We feel it's time we have a full-time person operating in that area. The paralegal program has a two-year degree program, and we're going to have our first graduates this spring. We must have a full-time person in that area in order to stand up at accreditation time, which is next spring. In the area of the career ed programs, we have the former Georgia Commercial Property. Now we refer to it as the Marine Tech Center. Online, we're on target as far as getting that building and the shop facilities prepared for instruction this fall, and perhaps by use for something this summer. But we are in need of some support staff for that program. We have two full-time people last year, two full-time positions in the fisheries area. We have welding shop and auto mechanics. We're asking for a technician to help these instructors maintain the laboratories and shops and keep equipment prepared and ready for classroom use. A new area that we must get into is the hospitality area. We're asking for a coordinator to get started in that service area and define the program that would best serve the Juneau area in the hospitality, hotel, restaurant training programs. Some of the programs that are available, core credit for students working in the legislature that may be college students, are the cooperative ed program, which would be for the first 2 years of a student's college program, freshman and sophomore year. We have the cooperative ed program. Now we do not have anyone taking advantage of that program, and if we have continuing ed specialists, we can perhaps get someone up here to work with you and get a lot of these students involved, because we recognize that there are a number of college-age students up here getting very valuable experiences that could be approved programs and approved as part of that curriculum. There is a part-time position in emergency medical tech, and those classes have been very popular here, not only with the people involved in helping services, the police, fire, protection people, but community people who feel that in Alaska, you would like to have an EMT on every hunting trip. And the enrollments have created waiting lists for the available instructors in this community. There are not very many that are trained to give the especially intermediate level EMT courses, and so we're asking for a half-time position to bolster that program.
Excuse me, will that take care of the need?
Maybe for one or two semesters. We do have some very good part-time instructors here, but as I say, we don't have enough. We have waiting lists for the EMT programs right now. Of course, it takes facilities too, and that would be part of the technician's job, as well as the welding labs and auto mechanic labs. This would be a classified person that would be experienced in a lot of handyman skilled as far as keeping all of that equipment going. And there's a lot of equipment involved in the PhD program that has to be ready and available and prepared prior to laboratory experiences. The continuing education specialist is one that is important to all of us at the community college and at the university. We have agencies coming in, private agencies, consultants of all kinds, University of Oregon, University of Washington, offering courses through the state agencies for in-staff, in-service training for staff in state and federal agencies. And we feel that we should be doing that job, and we would like to have someone whose prime responsibility is identifying needs of state agencies and getting those people hired and available through our university rather than seeing them paying $180 for a three-day in-service training from Oregon State. And we have tried to do this through some of our committee work, but as you know, if you pay someone, you get it done a lot faster than you do by trying to always use committees. I'd like to answer any questions now.
Any questions?
Phil Hawker. I'm representing the Humanities and Social Sciences of the University of Alaska Juneau, and I'd like to speak to you just a few minutes this morning on the liberal arts requests that we have in our budget. These requests respond generally to two issues. One of them is a need for an increase in academic programs in the liberal arts areas due to student demands in those areas. And the other is an accreditation issue. The way the University of Alaska Juneau began back in the early 70s, actually the community college existed several years before that, but the senior college was introduced in Juneau in the early 70s, and when the two were combined at the University of Alaska Juneau, we had a case of what some people have referred to as an academic split personality, because we had over the years have developed a well-developed graduate program and some specialized baccalaureate programs, as well as a well-developed community college level program, which corresponds to the freshman-sophomore level of a four-year program. But due to the lack of an immediate need for liberal arts coursework, we haven't had the development of liberal arts courses at the junior and senior levels. The upper division levels, and this was pointed out to us. Actually, we were aware of this for some time, but we've had some budget requests for building in these areas. But because of the need for money in the other program areas, we focused on those highlighted programs. In the academic development plan of 1975, we planned for the development of the liberal arts program and wrote in the plan for the development of a baccalaureate level program in liberal arts. We had pointed out to us in our accreditation visit of 1977 the need to develop in this area. In fact, in the revisitation a year ago, we again noted the lack of fully developed comprehensive program in the liberal arts at the upper division level. And this is needed to complement the existing baccalaureate programs. It's needed for transfer programs for students who are taking courses on our campus with the idea in mind of attending other schools. And it's also needed to provide for our campus in our Juneau area in southeastern Alaska a comprehensive college to meet the needs of a wider range of the population. We had the Lamar Johnson report, which was a review and assessment of our academic needs in UAJ and southeastern Alaska, that was done this last year, a year ago this spring. And in it, Dr. Johnson again pointed out this need for the development, further development of the liberal arts areas. Among other things. So we recognize that this is a need, and we're making a strong request this year to focus on this area to build in our liberal arts programs. Now, what this means is that we are asking for four new positions, one in music, one in art, one in political science or government, and one in economics. And the reorganization that is taking place now at UAJ, which will also benefit us in terms of our liberal arts programs, we are picking up two other positions too, one in mathematics and one in psychology. And all these positions will are liberal arts positions and will complement those programs and the existing faculty in the liberal arts areas. Although we have strong faculty at the community college level, up until now we've not been able to use them at beyond the community college level with the organization that we've had. But as a result of the new organization, the reorganization that we'll be going into for the remainder of this semester, we'll be able to use those people much more efficiently at the community college level and at the senior college level. In fact, there'll be no differentiation after the reorganization takes place. So it'll be greatly beneficial, especially in the liberal arts area. But we do have these positions that we don't have faculty for, full-time faculty for, in economics and in political science, also in mathematics and psychology. In music and art, we have positions, but we have a great deal of student demand in those areas, and so we're asking for additional positions in those areas too, not only to meet the student demand, but also because of three new baccalaureate programs that we're proposing to be added to our curriculum. And these baccalaureate programs are in the liberal arts areas. We have one that we're asking for in music. We have, over the past several years in Southeast Alaska, offered quite a wide range of music courses. In fact, we've offered almost enough music courses to already have a BA major in music available. We certainly need more facilities, and we need more full-time instructors to do that. We're asking for one full-time instructor in this budget request. We're also asking for baccalaureate, a BA major in government or political science. And one of our requests within this budget is for a full-time faculty member in political science. We don't presently have a political science faculty member on our campus. We're also requesting the addition of a liberal arts baccalaureate program, which we're calling a Bachelor of Liberal Arts. And this program we hope to make available region-wide, not just in Juneau. We hope at least in Sitka and Ketchikan to have it available on a regular basis for students there. We know that at the stage of our development, we're not capable, and won't be capable for some time, if ever, of offering a wide range of BA major specialties in the liberal arts outside Juneau, but we do feel that this is a program that we specially designed for Southeast Alaska. We do feel that we can offer this Bachelor of Liberal Arts in both Juneau as well as Sitka and Ketchikan. So what we're really asking for then in this liberal arts request, which is roughly $161,000, for these four faculty members and support materials and equipment and supplies, we're asking for the beefing up of our liberal arts program for accreditation reasons, for reasons of student demand that we've had as a result of other courses we've offered in these areas, and for the full development and implementation of these three baccalaureate programs that I've described to you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you. Next.
Good morning. I'm Harry Kime, Director of Administrative Services for the University of Alaska Juneau. The question was asked about library books. Currently, we have a request in for 92.4. 4,000 of that is restricted funds, so 88,000 is for library books and media equipment. 77,000 is the books, and then
is that in the region's request?
Yes, it
to
is.
Us on governor's budget.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe it is there. I didn't find it when I was going through the budget request yesterday. I don't find it in the priorities.
It's under academic support.
Yeah.
I don't know where it got dropped out, but everything that I have shows it in there.
That is approximately $90,000 for periodical and books in the UAJ budget.
Oh, that's not an additional request. That's the current.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I think the question that Chairman Rogers was asking is if you're asking additional support for the libraries.
No, I just wanted to make sure that folks were in there.
Yeah.
It's been a controversial subject, you know, was last year. Got all the books in. So.
Are they in operating condition?
Yes, are they in the operating?
Yes, they're in the operating.
There's very little library book expansion being requested in the operating budget. Most of it's the base carried forward from last year.
What I wanted to talk a little bit about is the need for some capital improvement funds. My understanding is the governor has recommended $1.2 million for instructional equipment. The university's request on a statewide basis was $4,044,000. UA Juneau's portion of that was $230,000. Of the $230,000, most of it was to go for the vocational programs, especially in the area of increased equipment for welding, diesel repair, carpentry classes. And also that last year we had requested funds, capital monies, for two positions in fish technology under vocational education. And unfortunately, it got cut out. So we did get the two positions, but there were no capital equipment funds available for those two positions. And we're in dire need of several large amounts of equipment for the fishery program. The other areas that did get funded by the governor was to remove handicap barrier. The Juneau portion is $100,000. We have a definite problem, and as far as I can see, we have some real conflicts with the federal government and their requirements. We have this year, this semester, as a matter of fact, for the first time, two blind students. We have no braille signs. We have no money to do anything to help get them around to classes. In addition, the elevator that is necessary, it looks like it's going to be more expensive than what we had been given to work with, and so we're going to need some money in that area. I chaired a committee on the handicap problem at the Juneau campus, and such things as where we thought, based on the current thinking of architects and designers, even our bathrooms are not properly done for wheelchair patient students and for people who are on crutches, and we have all of those. And I'm sure that at the other campuses, they even have worse than the situation we do. So we support fully the amount in for the removal of handicap barriers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What were you saying about the elevator? Why was you anything other than just to braille the sign?
Out of the campus, the Auk Lake campus, we need another elevator, and we were given $100,000 to do that, and it looks as though that's going to be somewhat short based on the most recent information I have.
Okay, but what you're saying is $100,000 wasn't enough to pay for the second elevator, but is the second elevator part of the need for handicapped students, or just a...
Yes, it is. That was the main point, that we needed the elevator to get them up and from one story to the other.
Mr. Chairman, we've just had a chance to look briefly at the governor's budget, but it's our impression that he did include somewhere in the budget funding for handicap barrier removal and general building upgrade as approved by the Board of Regents.
Statewide, to the Regents.
It may be. We'll take a good hard look at that before we get all stirred up.
One other question on the instructional equipment you were mentioning, Harry, is that in the budget or not in the budget? But what you're telling us?
Well, confused. My understanding was the governor only recommended of the $4,044,000 that we had requested, the university had requested, he recommended only $1.2 million. So
on a statewide basis.
On a statewide
basis. And that's
basis.
Not allocated in the governor's budget?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, it's a lump sum, Mr. Chairman.
He's seen the plan, generated it, so he knows the distribution.
Mr. Chairman, can I follow that up? Just other than the elevator, and I guess you need to remodel the restrooms.
Right.
Other than that, is there any other major expense? I mean, it sounds like you ought to go out and put braille all over the place, but that doesn't seem to cost a lot of money.
believe it or not, it really will cost, we're estimating about $5,000 just for signs on room numbers and restrooms, elevators, stairwells, directional signs. This is what is estimated for that $20,000 for plumbing modification of restrooms for facilities, replace drinking fountains that are not suitable for the handicap, $25,000 additional for the elevator, $30,000 for electronic readers, talking calculators, braille writers and typewriters. This is more along the area of instructional aids for handicapped people. And then we also need about $20,000 more to expand our handicapped parking facilities. Again, this is a problem.
I certainly support removal of barriers for the handicap and other things, but I'm wondering, is it the normal practice in the university for the university to incur the expense of those teaching aids? Would that be considered normal?
We want federal funds.
We want federal funds.
Mr. Chairman, for years now, I don't know how many years this law's been in effect, maybe 10 at least, these federal requirements, the universities and school districts all over the country have been putting them off and off and off because they're unable to get appropriations from legislatures such as ours here.
In addition, we have our own state law.
That's right. In addition, we have the state law. It's a major problem across the whole country in terms of the amount of dollars that are required for education because of the enormous amount of facilities involved and the number of people that use them on a daily occasion.
I appreciate your information, but I might point out, I'm intimately aware of the problem. My sister is on the, whatever it is that runs the board, the Governor's Commission on the Handicap. She lobbies me every year.
The other request that we asked for was $150,000 for road streets and parking. Again, my understanding is that this has not been recommended by the governor. That's to cover parking lots, sidewalks, signage around the roadways and the parking areas and erosion control. The other one, and Rob Morant mentioned it, and I'd like to strongly recommend that the University Center Phase 1 be funded. It is $10 million, which is requested for Phase 1. Total request would be approximately $16 million. The $6 million would be in another phase. I really feel that this is essential in order to get a campus and not just a series of buildings. I've been here for 7 years, and we have never been able to get a sustained student interest in doing anything other than to go to classes, which is a great, the most important thing. But I think in an overall situation, the environment needs to be there for the students to get together in a social setting also. We feel that this building, the center, would provide that. In addition, it would also be able to handle a cultural center activity, small theater, classrooms related to the arts, practice rooms, rehearsal rooms, drama, speech, dance, music. The other part of it would be to handle the administrative center. Currently, we are in leased facilities at Ock Bay, about a mile and a half away from the campus, and it's just not conducive to be that far away from the activity of the university, especially the chancellor and his staff. What we would be question of it's really both of those things. It was felt that $16 million at this point would not, it would be too much to try to do all at once, and it was more rational to break this up into two phases. The second phase would be for a full library center and media, in particular, would be the second phase of it.
Do you know if there'd be any other ways you could break that into two phases, 8 and 8, or do you feel like the 10 and 6 is the only track?
This seemed to be the most rational approach to it. The other area that we were asking, two other areas. One is land acquisition for $150,000, And this is to buy a piece of property that's about 4 acres. And it's between the main, the Auk Lake campus and the fisheries building. And in order to have a main corridor between the two buildings, one's on the seaside, and the other would be where the land is located, is on the other side between two pieces of property we already own. It's a key ingredient when we look at it from a long-range standpoint. It's the property that we are going to need in order to put a water reservoir, a major water reservoir for the whole campus. And it really is critical that we purchase this property as soon as possible.
Senator Monk?
Mr. Chairman, I got a question. We're talking about buying land. Is there any way we can do a little horse trading, maybe? We've got a lot of university land. Is that possible?
If the university would trade a piece of land somewhere else? Or
this piece of ground here? I mean, it's a thought.
I'd ask that the university consider that as a possible way of accomplishing
it. Mr. Chairman? I have been out to the campus there, but I'm not familiar with what part, what's university land already and what isn't. Can you, all I know is the main building there. Which way are you talking about from there?
It would be, if you're looking up the hill from the buildings, mm-hmm. It would be almost in the center of where the buildings are, all the way up and then back down towards the highway. There's a crest, and mm-hmm. It's the crest of the hill that we're talking about, and then down the other side.
Why do you need that?
Well, it would be advantageous to be able to hook our fisheries building with the rest of the campus, the utilities. And this is felt to be the main way to get there, especially when up on the crest of the hill is where we're going to need to put a water reservoir for our main water system and for fire and domestic purposes. And this would be the way that, well, first off, that land we don't own. This is what we're talking about. Secondly, that we would be able then to put the take the water down to the fisheries building for.
Where's the fisheries building? I guess I don't know where that is.
It's on the right next to NIMS, National Marine Fisheries. You know where that is?
Just by the across the highway, right there.
Down over the.
Next to the
bay.
I don't want to mess
you up. You're the one. Speaking of that property, is this property you're talking about for sale available?
We approached them several years ago, and it was available if, you know, we could work it out. But we have not, because we didn't have the money.
You wouldn't be getting it in other ways, Bradford Pesky.
No. There is no intention on our part to do anything like that. The last capital improvement request is the Pratt Ely property. It's the NC property that's known by, and we have started the development of that property. We have put in a fence so that we would still have something remaining. We are going to have to put in the basic utilities, and we will be able to remodel the building that's closest to the water with the current funds that we have from the last GO bond issue. What the $600,000 would do would be enable us to remodel two more buildings. One would be the retail store that used to be called Chandler's, and that's approximately 5,500 square feet. And there's also a building where the Marine Way is, and we would remodel that building into the carpentry shop, so that we would then have some classroom space, some office space, carpentry, diesel, and welding with this and the previous bond issue.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mary.
Brother in law, good morning. Chairman Mickens, I would like to comment for a second on your question on receiving credit for work experience that one has had. This is one of probably the most difficult concepts to be accepted by academicians. Professional educators have accepted the concept with no problem, but academicians simply have a hard time accepting the concept. In the institution that I was president before, we used experiential learning very extensively. Any student who came in no matter what area, academic or vocational technical, if he had the background or she had the background in that area, what we did, we had actually for the technical and vocational areas, we had homemade tests that that student could take and could finish a course within 3 years in a matter of months, 2 or 3 months sometimes. We are examining this concept here. And we hope that eventually we will be able to implement it throughout this campus. But again, in the university setting, changes happen rather slowly when it comes to very dramatic and drastic concepts like experiential learning.
Mr. Chairman, I'd point out that during the interim, I met with the head of the program at the University of Alabama on experiential learning. It's a very popular program there. It's open admissions, and they've got a 15-month waiting list. They did offer it. We'd fund an admissions person at the University of Alabama to put all the university for all Alaskan students ahead of the line.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it is a good question, I think, because I know people right here that are taking college credit for their work here, but they're not taking it through the university here. They're taking it through someplace outside. Not only are those people getting the tuition and the student credit hours or whatever, but you're losing a possibility of bringing Alaskans into the system. I think that if they were used to working here and they didn't have to go outside, I mean, to get accepted outside just to get credit here, it's quite a big hassle. And there are some people here that are doing that right now, I know. And there are a lot of people who this 5 months. Or this 6 month works out pretty good. They can take one semester, then they can work here and make a fairly good money, and then they can go outside for summer and fall again, and then come back and work. And a lot of students have put themselves through college working here as pages, secretaries, and aides. And so it just seems to me that we're really missing the boat. And I think we should do it in Anchorage too. I think Anchorage students ought to be able, and Fairbanks is ought to be able to do it. But particularly comes up to mind right here in Juneau, somebody could just drive down the road, sign up and enter into some sort of contract agreement with some professor of political science or whatever the appropriate place would be, and they would have to accomplish certain things besides working. I don't necessarily think they should get credit just for working, but they might say, you know, whether it's writing term papers or taking tests or however you guys figure that out, it doesn't matter to me, but, you know, make it something so that they enter into some sort of a contract that if they accomplish it, they get that kind of credit. Even if it isn't graded credit, I think it should be, but even if it isn't graded credit, some way of utilizing the experience. Because in some cases, I think you're learning a lot more here than you could, you know, in a classroom setting.
If I'm not mistaken, there is a request in the statewide administration for academic planning to study the feasibility of offering experiential loan.
I think they're pretty far down the road.
Okay, I would urge hopefully to head on that myself.
Well, yeah, those good ads with Abraham Lincoln, and I've seen those, where he's in the classroom and they say, who can tell me about such and such battles in the Civil War, and he gets up. Yeah, I think he had to be there.
Yeah.
Chairman Lincoln, what you described was exactly the institution I came from. The students could come and take classes or courses 2 or 3 weeks, and they could leave and come back a month, 2 months, 6 months, 2 years later, and continue from the point they left and not start from the beginning of the course again. So it is my hope that eventually something like that can happen here. And there are some national tests that give credit for experiential learning or learning outside the classroom. Mm-hmm. And I think that the formulation of tests that an institution itself can do is very valid in this process. And I think you have realized by now, or you will realize soon, that you do have, as president of the university now, a person, and I don't say this because he is sitting just behind me here, a person who really is looking at every angle by which we can serve the peoples of Alaska, and we need it, because this state is so diverse, It's a huge area that we must attempt to find any possible way. And of course, it has to be a non-traditional way, a non-conventional way to serve the people of this state. I would like to comment also on the library books. We had in the continuation budget, we have the same amount that we had last year, basically, which was cut later to save the computer note. And our thought, of course, was to attempt to put that money back in the incremental budget for this year. However, we decided against it for one simple reason, that we had to use either a shotgun approach to the budget this year, as usually has been the fact before, or concentrate on two, three, no more possible needs that are very dire to this campus. So what we did then, we decided to concentrate on those specific needs, take care of those needs first, and then move to the supportive areas as the library is. We need the books, there's no doubt about that. But you also should know that we need the building that we are going to put the books, because right now the books are on the second floor of a building which could collapse any time if we really continue putting books up. We are going to move in the basement eventually on the first floor. But the fact is that we do need the building that we are going to eventually have the library and the media center, and that is part of the building that we have asked for this year for $10 million, and which the governor's office felt that they could not support. Let me take just a few minutes to summarize what has been done on this campus, and then say a few things about the budget. The University of Alaska has had programs in the Southeast for a long, long time, long before the community college was established. The university was sending people from Fairbanks to offer undergraduate and graduate programs in Juneau and the other cities in Southeast Alaska. So the presence of the university in Southeast Alaska goes a long ways back. As a matter of fact, in the early 1950s, a decision had been made by the board at that time, and there are documents to verify this, that eventually a campus should be established in Juneau, and that campus should be devoted to fisheries and forestry. So this actually was a decision taken in the 1950s. The document I have is dated 1955, which indicates a commitment by the university to develop an exclusive program on fisheries on the campus in Juneau, as well as forestry. Forestry didn't come to pass, but the fisheries has. I don't know if you know it, but I'm the fourth chancellor of this campus within 3 years. We had two acting chancellors, one permanent who left, and myself who just came not quite a year ago yet. The present organizational structure, as you know, is, was already alluded to, is we have two colleges, a senior college and a community college, with the chancellor, dean of students, the administrative services, and the public relations as officers that are above those institutions, serve both the institutions. The institutions are really semi-autonomous to a certain degree, although their heads do report to the chancellor's office. What this has done is actually to create an effectiveness and efficiency problem. And if you would like me to go into it, I have some things here about it, but I will prefer to skip over the details. But this has created basically an effectiveness. The university, in other words, has not been as effective as it could be, and also it is not as efficient as it could be. And I have here, of course, about the high costs from both the governor's office and from some of you of the campus here. We need to become more efficient. Because of this, I realized when I came that something has to be done. Now, this has, had been recognized before. However, for some reason or another, the board either failed to act or when it acted, it did not act decisively in actually bringing the two institutions together and providing a continuous program in which the instructors could be used effectively from freshman to graduate programs, and also the best instructors, you know, the best qualified instructors should teach in their disciplines, no matter if the courses they taught were in the freshman or undergraduate level. Unfortunately, because of legal problems now, with the way we are, we cannot do this. And that's part of the efficiency problem that we have. The result of this has been that the Juno campus is the slowest campus to be developed under the university system. We are actually, gentlemen, moving at a snail's pace in developing both programs and facilities in this institution. It is our hope that with the reorganization, and I passed to you the new organizational structure as approved by the university administration. That is not cast in concrete, by the way, as we study this in operation, we find out that it is not effective or efficient. We will alter it to make it more efficient and more effective. Also, as people who are leaving the institution, moving out, then we will look at those positions very hard, and we will decide if we want to combine those with others or continue them. If you have any questions for the organization, I could answer that now. Otherwise, I will proceed with the questions.
Chairman, if we may for just a moment. Mike, the last couple of years, the university here at Juno has talked about the accreditation requirements. And they've talked about each year having to add certain numbers of positions because of that need. And I think it was spoken to either by Phil or Robbie, I'm not sure which, mentioned it again today. Can you identify for us at all today or maybe later which of your requests are identified with the accreditation need and when they really have to be on board?
I was coming to that.
If I could interrupt just for a second, I would appreciate from the president that a list sort of for the next couple of years of what the major accreditation things we'll see at all the campuses are. Each year we get a number of requests for, and some of them fairly hefty for accreditation purposes, and I think it would be kind of be nice to know what we're looking at in the next couple of years.
Sure,
Gentlemen, the budget as it was developed this year holds three major priorities. The first priority was to attempt to make this a college. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we say that we have a University of Alaska at Juno, but we don't have a university campus. Now, I don't expect to have a university campus in the sense of the university campuses that we have in Fairbanks and Anchorage. I think anyone in the past or presently is promoting the idea as not a realistic person. This is a small place. It is, we are serving in terms of population, a small area. We cannot really expect to have a full-fledged university campus as we are developing in Anchorage and as we have developed in Fairbanks. However, this is really no reason. No reason at all for not having a good college, a good four-year college, excuse me, with some very limited programs that are specialized in certain areas. And we don't have a good college right now. You go downtown, you go and ask the people downtown, and they will tell you that. It's no, there's nothing that is a secret. We are not consistent. We are not dependable. We haven't reached the quality that we should reach. But most of all, we don't have the program to make a college. I went to a college. I went to Morningside College in Sioux City, Iowa for my undergraduate work. That institution at that time was about the same size as we are now. As a matter of fact, just a bit smaller. And yet, that institution had more programs. They had 10 times the number of buildings that we have, and much quality. Much better quality curriculum than we have here. Now, this is really, this is exactly what the problem that we have here is, that we have not yet achieved a collegial status in the way that the college is.
Why?
Because we don't have programs now. I think the people that have visited with you before said this, but they didn't say it in the manner that I feel, because I feel very strongly about it. For example, in the whole institution, we don't have a mathematics instructor. And mathematics is the basic discipline in any college. You cannot have a college without a mathematics instructor, and yet we don't have a single one. We don't have a single psychology instructor. We don't have a single political science instructor. We don't have an art instructor in the senior college. We don't have a music instructor in the first 2 years. Now, these gentlemen are really our basic disciplines. Disciplines that must exist in an institution if we are to call that institution a college.
How much would it cost to build a college then?
I tell you, Representative Rogers, it will cost much less than the cost, much less than the cost to build the campus in Fairbanks and the campus in Anchorage. What we are asking this year really is not outrageous. I think it is very modest.
It is modest, but what would it cost to do it fully the way
Eventually, I do believe that the physical facilities will take about $25 million. Now, this is something that right now I'm not prepared to say.
I just sort of wanted to get a ballpark. And what do you think an additional operating would take?
I would hate to tell right now, because I really will hate to say that this is an amount that probably will be hanging over my head for the next 10 years.
Don't be afraid, because we got requests. I mean, in Fairbanks and Anchorage, in our hearings, they ask for everything they ever want.
Well, we didn't want to do it that way. We want to present to you just the faculty and the people that are really very deeply involved with the institution, and to tell you what our needs are presently. I will say that we will need to about half as much for the next 3 years, half as much of the operating budget that we have right now. Including, of course, the increase that we ask this year. In other words, if you approve our budget this year the way it is, I think half as much of that again will do it eventually. Now, I tell you, I'm a realist. I think we all are a realist on this campus. We have suffered for so long that really we cannot be anything else but realists. And we do feel that this cannot happen overnight. But we do hope that we will see a positive action by the legislature.
It's 10 o'clock. I'm going to have to close the hearing.
Can I say one more remark?
30 seconds.
Just 30 seconds. Our enrollments, even for a little institution like this that has no facilities, if you go to Affleck campus, really, anyone who goes over there will see buildings that look like apartment houses and not a university campus. But even so, our increase this first semester, and the last semester, was 18.6% in production. Not in headcount, but in production, and that is in full-time equivalent students.
I noticed on your activity plan, every one of your goals, more students received credit, more students received degrees,
right,
than your plan. The only thing where you didn't beat it was an instructional cost, where you made it a little lower. That's fairly nice.
The instruction.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
I just don't know. No.